Welcome to the Modern Classrooms Project Podcast. Each week, we bring you discussions with educators on how they use blended, self-paced, and mastery-based learning to better serve their students. We believe teachers learn best from each other, so this is our way of lifting up the voices of leaders and innovators in our community. This is the Modern Classrooms Project Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 182 of the Modern Classrooms Project Podcast. My name is Tony Rose Deanna, and they, them pronouns, a designated hype person here at MCP, and I am joined today by a pre-K educator, Marquita Thomas, she, her pronouns. Welcome, Marquita.
Hi, everyone.
It's so exciting to be in this space with you, and thank you so much for saying yes to the podcast. Before we get started, what is bringing you joy currently?
Currently, I'm a wife and a mom, and I love to enjoy family time and do family outings, so that's my passion that brought me into child development in the first place. So,
yes, I love that. That is so, so great. So how many kids do you have, if you don't mind me asking?
I have two. I have an 8-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Oh, the beauty of the different ages.
Yes.
How fun. That's so, so exciting. Kids are definitely hilarious. And I always say this too, is like, I miss the interactions I had with students and with young learners just because they're so funny and they keep you humble.
Yes, definitely. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I need more of that in my life. And so, okay, Marquita, tell us more about who you are and how you started your MCP journey.
Yes, I have a variety of roles within early childhood. To sum it up, I have like a pretty extensive background. Started off as a student aide in a preschool classroom. Then I went to a lead teacher position in a preschool classroom for 3 to 5 years of age children. I got promoted to a preschool supervisor. That was pretty fun. I implemented and created a kindergarten readiness program. Through that program, I facilitated meetings with teachers and families to support kindergarten readiness skills. I then went on to CPS because of my passion for the babies. I wanted to go back to my babies. So currently I'm in CPS as a general education teacher in a blended classroom. And I received an email about MCP, and I wanted to learn more about it. Once I took the program, I fell in love with the technology, the strategies, the self-paced student learning. And so I thought it would be really engaging and interactive to use it with my students.
And as a pre-K educator, Marquita, the whole concept of self-pacing didn't scare you away?
Actually, it did. It gave me jitters because I was like, well, they're not going to pay attention to the videos, or well, if it's too long, it's too extensive. But as I played around with it and I implemented it, they were like very intrigued and wanted to do it more.
Oh, that's so exciting. I also feel like our kids are growing up with a lot of devices. And so to be able to teach them how to use those devices in a way that they can actually like learn and not just like watch things, right? But actually learning and gaining skills and all of that is so cool to me. So, okay. How long have you been in the classroom now, Marquita?
Over 10 years.
Over 10 years. How exciting. It's always been with the little babies.
I started off with preschool, and then I did a year in kindergarten. And then I was like, I'm going back to preschool. I love preschool.
Wait, what is the difference? So I did kindergarten for a year, and I absolutely hated it. So why, what's the difference? What's like, I'm sure there's a huge difference between pre-K and kindergarten. But like, can you just like, I don't know, indulge me, teach me, because I don't know, because all I see is like kids full of boogers and snotty and like, it's just like the age group that I don't want to deal with at all.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I noticed that the curriculum is like very different. With preschool, we're all about play-based learning and interactive engagement with hands-on approaches. And so that can look very different in kindergarten versus kindergarten is more structure as far as curriculum where you're not as flexible with the student learning, and so you have to follow this strict lesson plan. And so it kind of, the modification part, I would say it fits with pre-K because I'm able to go based off my students' interests. I'm able to modify, adjust, adapt any lesson in the curriculum to support my students' needs.
Oh, I love that so much. So now you're just basically reminding me that, like, pre-K, when students go into schools for the very first time, it is very much play-based, right? And then once they get into kindergarten, like, it's not as play-based, and that's kind of sad. And so, like, I'm interested in seeing how you kind of implemented the model with also the play-based learning in mind, because I find that to be so fascinating. Like, as an adult, I'm still looking for opportunities to play because we don't play enough, and I feel like we need to play. And there's so much, and this is the thing, like, why I love young learners. I will never teach them. If anything, they teach me all the time of how we should, quote unquote, be seeing the world, right? Like, play, lots of love, lots of compassion, lots of questions. And so, listeners, this episode, I don't know if you all know already, but this episode is all about using MCP with pre-K learners. And so it's really exciting for me because I've not seen a pre-K classroom yet, but I've seen kindergarten and I was really, really impressed. So Marquita, how's it going? What has been a challenge and a celebration for you? Tell us all the things.
There has been a variety of things going on with MCP in my classroom. For my children, they are very eager and inclined with technology as our world is becoming more technology driven. This allows them to be self-paced and interact with technology within my lessons. I like how with completing the task, students, they are assisting their own self-reflection skills and assisting their own self-mastery checks with minimal to no assistance. And with this being a success, the challenge that I see is I'm currently in a blended classroom, and so I have a couple of new, when I say new, I mean like, brand new multilingual children in my classroom. And so I'm learning to modify it as I am learning to speak their native language. And so a win for me is also that with repetition and routine and me integrating their multilingual native language and verbiage in my lessons, they are able to adapt and adjust. Like, for example, I had a child tell me yesterday, I was completing the lesson, I was showing a video, and she said, wait, well, she said it in Spanish, she was like, why is it in Spanish, not in Spanish, but in English? And so from then on, it clicked to me, like, they need multilingual verbiage within their lessons. And so since then, I've been completing multilingual verbiage lessons to support them.
Oh, and I love that. And I love how you said, like, I have brand new multilingual learners, and so I'm learning their language instead of the other way around, right? Because sometimes as educators, because I also taught English learners, a lot of the times I never even considered that, right? Like, oh, the focus is really like to meet each other in the middle. So like if they're learning a little bit about our language, then I want to be able to learn a little bit about theirs as well. So that's such a beautiful thing. And I think I did that for a bit, especially working with a lot of my Spanish speaking students, right? I feel like for me, it was a lot easier to learn Spanish. But I love this part of you just saying like there's repetition and routine. And with repetition and routine, any student can be successful. Right? And it's such a nice reminder too. I also really love the fact that you have 3 to 5-year-olds, right? Like self-reflecting.
Yes.
How adorable. Marquita, how do you do that? Like what, how did you teach them to do that?
My magic wand. It definitely takes time and practice for students to be engaged with self-paced learning. When they practice with routine and structure, they learn accountability. So, for example, I use a lot of visual supports for my students because I have some that are varying in different developmental levels. And I use a lot of verbiage. And with my verbiage, I'm putting the visual support with them as well as model I'm modeling the activity. I'm modeling how to interact with the video. I'm modeling what stations to go to and where do I go when I need help. And I put pictures everywhere. If you come to my classroom, there's like pictures of dinosaurs where they're doing the self-mastery check. There's a picture of activity board where they do the activity check. There are, can't have enough of print rich environment.
And I love that too, because now I'm thinking like, these are students who can't read just yet, right? I mean, of course you may have some students who are a little bit more advanced, right? Like in every classroom, but for the most part, like you said, it's a lot of visuals. And I love that you just pointed out dinosaurs for a mastery check. So when they see a dinosaur, they know, oh, it's mastery check, right? Like kind of just like, again, the repetition routine that you've created for your students. And I know that sometimes we have naysayers, right? Like, and that's fine. Like we have some resilient folks, right? Saying like, oh, pre-K can't do this. And it's like, I've seen it in kindergarten. So I'm sure that if kindergartners can do it, our pre-K can do it as well. And so this is really, again, exciting that you can attest to the model and you can share like what worked really well for you as well as what works really well for your students as well. So that's really dope that you have visuals, because I do love a good visual as well. I am a visual learner, so I have to see it to be able to make it last in my head, right? And so, beautiful. Thank you. And so now we've talked about the visuals for students. We've talked about the verbiage that you use and the modeling, which is all very important and all things that educators, quote unquote, should be doing as they're implementing a self-paced learning in any grade level, right? And so what specific strategies or approaches can pre-K educators employ to empower the young children to take ownership of their learning experiences, right? And we want them to foster like this sense of autonomy and independence. And I know I can already hear people say like, oh, but they're 3 to 5. Like, how do you do that? It's, you know, it's too young. And it's like, no, it's actually the perfect time. It is the perfect time to teach them these skills. And so, you know, how do you get your 3-year-old learners to be more self-directed? Because I'm sure they're kind of all over the place because they're still, you know, working on their hand-eye coordination or whatever it is that they're working on. How do you get your students to become more self-directed?
I do a job in my classroom. It's called Big Captain, Little Captain. So the captains are pairing with children that will benefit from a peer buddy. And so I have two, and we rotate them every week. And so it's like, okay, big captain, here's your little captain. Assist your friend with an activity. And they are very great at reminding each other that this is how we do this activity. This is how this should look. And they even, like, for example, I had a child that was having, like, great difficulty with an activity. And they came over to assist them right away. And I'm just like, you go, big captain, for helping your little captain. So they are very welcoming and positive to each other. And I also model that for them as well. When me and my co-teacher, when we are in the classroom, we're sharing jobs, we're sharing roles. And they see us and they reflect it on each other.
Ooh, now that you mentioned a co-teacher, but of course you have a co-teacher because that's what happens when you have little ones, right? How do you and your coworker or your co-teacher work together when creating like the self-paced structure for your students?
With the self-paced program, I implemented to them first. They were, I would say, a little nervous because it's a new program. And so I even coached my co-teacher. I'm like, you should just try it. And she went through the program and she liked it. She was just like, I love how they implement the strategies. I love the coaching sessions. I love the projects that we were completing. And so every week we go over lessons, activities, mastery checks, anything that we feel as though our goals would be for that week. And we collaborate together. Also, we take turns with implementing the model. So I may do Monday, Wednesday, Friday. She will do Tuesday, Thursday. That way we can see the perspective from both sides of all students. And also so we can keep track of the students' learning and progress.
Would you say that this has made your planning just a little bit easier for both of y'all?
It definitely has. For example, with me, I feel as though it lays it out for the entire week. I can complete an activity. I'm just like, okay, by the end of this week, the children should progress to this stage within our pacing guide. And it also allows us to modify or assist children who may need more assistance with following the pacing guide and the activities.
Oh, I love this. Is getting me so excited because I know when I implemented the model, I also had a group of teachers do this with me. So we were just kind of like thought partners and brainstorming together and creating all of the resources together, which made my life a lot easier. And then there's also that like consistency, right? Like everyone was saying the same thing. Everyone was teaching the same thing. We just did it in our own teaching styles, but the messaging was the same, right? Like the lessons were the same. And I remember having like a co-teacher as well and her just loving the model because she could just watch the videos with the kids and then be able to like support them the best way possible. Because again, there's no need for her to try and figure out like what I'm trying to say. It's just all written there. So that's kind of, that's really cool. And another thing I want to bring up too is the big captain and little captain. I think that's the cutest thing. And that's definitely very age appropriate as well, right? So in high school and middle school, it's basically like a student teacher. But I really like that you created your own wording and made it more age appropriate. So the big captain and the little captain, and it's still collaboration, right? And like you said, it's the autonomy. And they really are like holding each other accountable and cheering each other on, I think. It's such a beautiful learning environment when that happens. And so, okay. So when it comes to like social, emotional, and cognitive development of young kids, how is this, the student-centered approach or self-pacing, like how does it contribute to that? And then like what evidence-based practices support the outcomes?
That is a great question. With MCP, I have noticed that it has positively impacted children's social, emotional, and cognitive development. When children are completing self-paced activities, they have a variety of learning styles, and MCP supports that in their learning. In addition, socially and emotionally, children feel more confident in their skills at a self-paced, so they're not comparing themselves to each other or worrying about what students, other students have versus what they have. So a whole group, when completing activities, some students are afraid to speak out when they don't understand or feel as though they are not meeting their peers. For example, I had an evaluation in my classroom where I was getting observed, and we were completing subtraction using manipulatives. Yes, my pre-K babies were doing subtraction. with my favorite story, Pete the Cat, My Buttons. I modified the story to where if the children were able to write, they could write the equation. Or if they were progressing on writing the equation, they could just count the manipulatives and write the number. Or if they were still developing their counting skills, they could use counting boards with Play-Doh for one-on-one correspondence. So in the middle of the lesson, one of my students blurted out, "I'm not smart." She's comparing herself to other students because she felt as though she wasn't writing the answers fast enough. And so when I saw that, I immediately intervened. I was like, you're smart. You're using your brain now to count your buttons. You're using your brain to write your answer. You are using your brain just like everyone else. Everyone in here is smart. And you are brave for trying. And you are brave for asking for help. So I went over to assist her. So afterwards, she was able to get her confidence back. And she utilized her modeling with writing the answer for the next equation for the classroom. When I met with my assistant principal, she commended me after the lesson on how I handled that situation and how I was able to re-engage that child within a learning environment. However, with the self-paced guide, that same student would have been socially and emotionally more inclined because they won't have to compare their skills to others. And I always push a positive learning environment and a social climate because we want children to be welcome, positive, comforting. And this self-paced student interaction allows children to work on a self-paced schedule, complete tasks that are technology interactive, and increase their cognitive skills by acquiring their skills on mastery checks and in and out of school environments.
And I think like that's the beauty of self-pacing, right? It really just kind of takes away the comparison, and it's really embracing that folks learn differently. And I think the younger that kids learn this, the better, because then maybe we can bring a little bit more play in elementary, middle, and high school with this mindset too of like, you know what, this is how I have to learn. So I'm going to do the best, you know, I'm going to do the thing that I need to do to better learn this. So there's like opportunities for them to really take their time to learn the skill and the concept. So I really love that. I really love that example, right? Because I think a lot of the times school tends to, and I'm not saying people, right? Like school tends to make kids fall out of love with learning. And that's because, you know, it's human nature for us to compare ourselves. It is. And at the same time, we want to provide this space where students are feeling brave to make mistakes, where students are feeling like it's okay to take longer than others. It's okay to be faster than others. It's okay to ask for help. And I think with the self-pacing, this really just allows it to flow beautifully versus like the whole group where everyone has to be on the same thing all the time. And so I think it just like, again, like you said, it alleviates a lot of stress, and students really just become more collaborative and more compassionate towards each other, which I find to be such a cool thing to witness and to be a part of. And so what kind of support have you been given or provided as you go through this MCP journey?
I have been given abundance of support throughout my MCP journey. I have had access to a program that was completely free, where they sat there and they coached me through each part of MCP skills and practices. I had two coaches, one during the summer as I was completing my MCP certification, and one that I have currently that continues to assist me implementing my skills. So even though I got my MCP certification, there's an extended coaching experience where I am currently in. Shout out to Jamie and all my other colleagues at MCP. Furthermore, I utilize a lot of resources and supports that are included in the MCP modules that I refer back to, as well as the MCP virtual sessions on topics to further facilitate my MCP skills. I know we had one where we talked about educators and how to modify and support. We had the Educators of Color virtual session, and that was very awesome because I felt like I was represented and I felt as though I had some colleagues to support me.
Yeah, and I thank you for saying all of that, because I think the Shades of Excellence Alliance, which is the meetup, monthly meetup for our educators of color, for Black and Indigenous and people of color educators, right? And so when we think about that too, it's such a safe and brave space for me to be in. Like, I absolutely love that space because I get to see folks who look like me. I get to see folks who are having similar experiences. So I love that you gave MCP a shout out and that you were just like, these are all the things that I got from MCP. So you're not alone. You're not doing this on your own. You really have a whole set of community backing you up and supporting you and hyping you up as much as possible. So I really appreciate you naming that as well. And so Marquita, are you planning on becoming a DMCE / mentor for us?
I currently am. I noticed in the program there are very few pre-K coaches. And so I wanted to extend that further because eventually, I want this to be a well-rounded program where we can reach all grades. And so pre-K was a first for MCP, and I feel as though implementing my skills and my assets will utilize a lot of support for pre-K teachers.
Yes. So wait, Marquita, are you saying that you're already a DMCE?
I'm in the middle of application process.
You're in the middle. Okay. Yes, baby. We want you to be in this pool of mentors as well. Because like you said, we don't have enough or any pre-K teachers, maybe even as mentors. So that is so exciting to me. I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. Okay. So then how can educators ensure that like instructional videos for pre-K learners align with developmentally appropriate practices, right? So when we're thinking about developmentally appropriate practices for 3 to 5 year olds, so including considerations for attention span, language comprehension, and sensory engagement while still effectively delivering educational content and also technology abilities. But then like when I wrote this out, it's really funny, Marquita, because I'm like, oh, this also goes with whatever grade level and whatever age, because we're thinking about attention span, language comprehension, sensory engagement. Like this works for even me as someone who's almost, 36 years old. Like I need this. So how would you align that with pre-K learners?
Yes, with instructional videos in pre-K, you'll have a variety of children that have different developmental progressions. With instructional videos, include a lot of visual and verbal support to support learning cues. Learning cues are really big in early childhood, so you want to include a lot of visuals, a lot of verbal. For example, if the lesson involves counting manipulatives, those same manipulatives that you have in the video, you want to implement that in the classrooms. That way they can connect the video to the activity. And also, you want to model in the video on how to complete the lessons to further support visual cues. This shows them how the activity should look and also how to engage and complete the activity. Furthermore, you want to be engaged. You want to be upbeat, interactive. For me, I like to throw out like a couple, I would just say, jokes here and there. I'm just like, oh, there's a dinosaur. Ah, don't give me dinosaur. Just so they can be attentive and engaged. It's like, oh, there's Miss Marquita on the screen, like playing with dinosaurs. You also want to outline to students what to do if they are stuck or needing assistance on a lesson or activity, so they can be more confident in asking for help and completing self-paced tasks. And have a visual pathway on what it should look like when going from introductory lesson to a small group to an activity, a mastery check. And have it interactive. That way they can move their picture as they progress along their self-pacing journey. You also want to keep it short. The video, if the lesson is too long, students may get distracted, become uninterested. You want to keep it short to the point, but also have included the necessary materials.
Marquita, I love the dinosaur comment that you added on here because you still showed your personality through the video. And I think sometimes we forget to play again a little, right, in front of the video. And I think I loved creating the videos for my students because I was still really playful in the videos just to get a crack out of them when they're watching. And so I know when they start giggling, oh, that's like the part that they're on, right? And so like really let your personality shine through because the kids really love those humanizing aspects of the instructional videos. We don't want them to be too formal. We don't want them to be too perfect because then that just like dehumanizes that experience, right? And so definitely shine, like let your personality shine. And I saw, you know, one thing that I realized too when I visited elementary schools with the pictures and the visuals, you want them to be eye level, like you said, right? And so like that makes it more accessible. And so it was really funny. I went to go visit like a second grade classroom and I was looking at things and I had to look down. And I was like, why am I looking down? And it was like, oh, it's eye level because these kids are tiny. That makes sense. I would have never considered that because again, I taught middle school. And so, and that's funny too, because when you think about eye level, you know, we're thinking about access, especially for students who may have, visual impairments, right? Like making sure like they can't look up all the way up, like making it more accessible. So if you do have resources, just check and see like, where do I look to see these things and do they feel natural or do I have to strain my neck or whatever it is, right? So I really like that you called that out. And so thank you for that. So I have a question for you, Marquita. How long did it take for you, for your kids to get to self-pacing? Because I want to I want to make sure that I emphasize that, like, this is months of you modeling and not like an overnight thing, right? Like, you can't just model one time and then be like, okay, kids, have fun. How long did it take for your kids to grasp these learning pathways or the self-pacing?
It definitely took a while. I want to say by December, I finally was like, we got it. I did have an MCP invite where someone came out to my classroom and they're like, oh my goodness, like, these are preschoolers completing self-paced activities. And I'm like, yep, mm-hmm. So that was like a very rewarding experience for me, because it's like the program works, and the more repetition, the more routines that you instill, they'll just catch on. Like, children, they are very open-minded and they adapt. And so with this routine and structure, they were catching on and grasping. And so it did take us a while, with repetition and routine, but I feel we are very solid.
Yeah, and I think that's also like a nice reminder for middle and high school teachers as well. Just a one-time thing of like modeling and expecting for kids to disrupt that learned helplessness that they already have for many years is just not, it's not attainable in a day or two, right? So it has to be a continuous modeling and support, because this is, again, disrupting the traditional way of teaching and learning. And like, Marquita, you have new babies. So this is how they're learning for the very first time. So there's not really a lot of disrupting in that sense. But like, for kids in middle school and high school, they've had the traditional way of teaching and learning for many years. And so for you to be like, oh, it's self-pacing now, you're actually going to be accountable and responsible for your learning, that's hard for a lot of kids. So thank you for that reminder. Okay, so Marquita, what is a tip that you have for a pre-K educator who may want to create a more self-paced learning environment?
I would like to let anyone in pre-K know that it may be scary utilizing a new tool that you may be unfamiliar with, or you may feel as though your classroom needs more assistance with, but I would say embrace it. Once you start implementing these strategies, you and your students will become familiar with MCP. Practice definitely makes perfect. My students were learning to adapt to the program, and I had to slowly implement MCP strategies. We would start off with just small group activities. Small group led into videos. Videos led into self-mastery checks, and then into pacing guides. It takes time, and it takes practice. And so currently, I am in a blended preschool classroom, and the children were very eager to utilize more self-paced guidance and participation. And it definitely increased as we progressed throughout the year.
I really love that part of start slow, pick the little bits and pieces that you want to not necessarily perfect, but to like work on and then keep adding on. So I really, really love that. And also, blended preschool classroom sounds amazing. This is really dope. Okay, so Marquita, what do you hope to see in the future and what goals do you have?
I hope that MCP, hopefully, fingers crossed, that I become a MCP mentor that's adapted into pre-K and is essential, because the adaptation is current with the evolving technology and the teaching practices that we use. With the self-paced guidance, it promotes increased engagement, pacing, and is used as a resource to further support and facilitate small group and one-on-one instruction. For my goal, I would like to definitely see MCP expand into pre-K and be across a variety of grade bands, that where we all can connect and plan together consistently.
And I feel like you are going to be the leader of all of that, Marquita. We're going to manifest it all. I would love to see you as a mentor for us, because I think that you're just full of gems and expertise. So I'm really excited to have you on board and you being a part of the community. So thank you, thank you, thank you again. How can listeners connect with you?
Sure, you can email me via MarquitaThomas09@yahoo.com. That's MarkuitaThomas09 at yahoo.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Marquita. This was such a pleasure, just so joyful being in this space with you. So listeners, remember, you can always email us at podcast@modernclassrooms.org, and you can find the show notes for this episode at podcast.modernclassrooms.org/182. We'll have this episode's transcript uploaded by Friday, so be sure to check back to access those. Also, we are asking our listeners to leave a review if this podcast has been helpful in supporting you to create a human-centered learning environment through a blended, self-paced, mastery-based model. It does help other folks find it. Thank you all for listening. Have a great week, and we'll be back next Sunday. Marquita, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find links to topics and tools we discussed in our show notes for this episode. And remember, you can learn more about our work at www.modernclassrooms.org, and you can learn the essentials of our model through our free course at learn.modernclassrooms.org. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Modern Class Proj, that's Proj. We are so appreciative of all you do for students and schools. Have a great week, and we'll be back next Sunday with another episode of the Modern Classrooms Project podcast.